Jewish Family History Project. This afternoon, we're speaking with Gertrude Karp Feldbaum, who has been kind enough to talk with us. She lives at 2029 Lowell Avenue in Louisville, Kentucky, with a phone number of 454-4982.
Know that.
I was born and my parents were married in Boston. And my father was from Poughkeepsie and my mother was from Boston.
And you and Bob, you and my husband must be related somewhere because his family is from up in that area.
And so I was born January the 25th, 1909 in Poughkeepsie. When I was about a year old, my parents came to Louisville, and my dad worked for Sam Frank in New Albany in a men's clothing store, but there was a relationship there. Then we went back. My mother wanted to go back to Boston. Her aunt wanted her to come back, and we went back there and stayed about 6 months and came back to Louisville and been in Louisville ever since.
That's great. And where did your family come from?
In Europe.
Yeah, in Europe.
It was Russia. It was Honduras.
Honduras was?
Well, in Grudna, I think that's where you're
from. Right. Right.
Grudna. Russia. Both my parents, but they were friends and they married here in Boston, Massachusetts, in 1908. My father came in 1904. My father came in 1904, my mother in 1906. Mm-hmm. And they married in
1908.
I was born in 1909, and I can't tell you what I want to say.
Okay. Let's go back to, what was the immigration path that your parents took to Louisville? How did they get here? Did they come as a family? Do you know?
Yeah, I was born then. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, before, when they left Grudna.
Well, they didn't come together, they were just friends. And my father came here in 1904.
Four.
Mm-hmm. And my mother came in 1906. But they came from the same village, I will say. It wasn't a town, because I was there. And my dad came to Poughkeepsie, New York. And my mother originally came to New York City, and then her aunt insisted that she come to Boston, Massachusetts. And my parents married in 1908.
I'm not sure I've got that.
Yeah, I've got that. In Boston. And then they lived in Poughkeepsie, New York, and I was born in 1909. And then they decided, Mr. and Ms. Frank, my mother's relatives, insisted they come to Louisville. They came to Louisville, and my father worked for Sam Frank in New Albany for a couple of years, and they went back to Boston and was not happy and came back to Louisville. And had their first grocery store at 13th and Liberty. Was there for about 3 or 4 years and then moved to 6th and Chestnut and had their grocery where WHAS is now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And my mother and father retired in 1924, and we went to, they took me to Europe with them. They were going to bring my grandmother back to Louisville, or America, and she was too ill.
And was this in Grudna?
In the big city of Grudna, just as you'd say, New York City, New York.
Uh-huh.
And she was had remarried. My grandfather was a doctor, and everyone in his family was doctors. But when she married the town rabbi in Grudna. And we couldn't bring her back with us. She was too ill, and she passed away in January of that year.
Do you remember what the rabbi's name was? I guess that's kind of far back.
Right this minute, I can't.
Okay, we can add it later if you think
back and think about it. Mm-hmm. I haven't thought of it in years.
I'm sure. And tell me about where you went to school, your early grades of school.
I went to Prentice School from first grade through sixth, and Montserrat from seventh and eighth grade, and Old Girls High School at Fifton Hill till I graduated.
That's wonderful.
And 1 year out at U of L, and then I got married.
And where did most of the Jewish people in Louisville live at that time? About what area?
Well, we lived at 6th and Chestnut, but 7th Street from Walnut all the way through Market Street, and it was a Jewish area because there was Jewish butcher shops on Market Street. 7th Street was Mr. Gerwich's butcher shop where we got our
name. Is that right? So there were a lot of Jewish merchants.
Oh, yes. And Lerner's Delicatessen.
Yes.
And all Jewish stores, Friedman's Department Store, all Jewish. It was a Jewish neighborhood with all Jewish merchants.
And the Jewish people then really went to those Jewish stores more than other stores.
Well, they...
Because they were right there in the area.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
There was another Jewish butcher, but I can't recall. We did our shopping at Gerwich.
That's great.
There was a synagogue on 12th and Jefferson.
Okay. And tell me about the shul that you were talking about.
On 12th and Jefferson. I can't recall the name right now. And they also have a cemetery, their own cemetery, on Preston Street across from either Knesset's or in that area.
Right.
And it's a small cemetery, and once in a while they may have a burial there. If I'm not mistaken, Freddie Fuchs was the last one buried there this past year.
Is that right? I just learned about the fact that there was a cemetery there.
Small cemetery. It was a small synagogue. And the people in the neighborhood in that area used to attend that little synagogue.
Right. And so do you think that may have been the oldest Jewish synagogue here?
No.
What was the oldest?
No. I think the one that was on Preston and Fear, or the one that was on Jefferson between Preston and Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Those were the two oldest. My parents belonged to the one on Jefferson Street, between Preston and here. Also, they belonged to the one on 12th Street, and then later, in later years, we belonged to Asdy Sheeran because I went to Sunday school there, so they belonged to three synagogues.
Which a lot of people do now belong to one or two.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
More for different reasons with children and so on.
That's right.
Right. And do you remember any special rituals or customs, Jewish customs, in that neighborhood, in that area, that people rushed home for Friday night or something?
Not particularly.
Okay. And how about telling me about there was a Strauss family or a Strauss store that you were talking about?
Oh, Herman Strauss on 4th Street?
Yes.
That was a big department store, one of the home-owned big department stores before the other stores came into Louisville.
I didn't know that.
And then later on, it was Kaufman Strauss.
Okay.
And then there was Selman's. And then Stewart's opened. I don't recall when they were open. But Herman Strauss, when I was a little girl, that was a big department store.
And part of the Strauss family is in Lexington, I think, still.
I think so.
An element of that family.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. And then you were talking about your family and your father's drugstore?
Well, my father had a grocery at 6th and Chestnut until 1924. Then he retired. He retired and was out of business until Depression hit. Things got bad. It was his building, so his brother-in-law went across the street with a grocery, so he wouldn't do that. He opened a drugstore that he knew nothing about and made a success.
Is that amazing? Now we're recording. Now here we go.
What?
And you were talking about your father would give food to the needy.
Oh, he always did. I mean, there were always people came in. There were a lot of poor people in those days that had nothing. And no matter who came in, they always got something to eat. And there were the nuns that had their convent on 8th Street, and they always came to my dad because he never refused anyone, never refused anyone.
And how much did you say a bushel of kale greens was?
50 cents. And he used to give them, they'd take a whole bushel and they were so happy, and it was only 50 cents. But 50 cents was a lot of money in those days.
A whole lot different than it is now. And then, would you tell me about the step that came from that building?
On the 6th Street side of the building, there was a stone step that said, "Please wipe your feet." And I was told that at one time that they had a medical school or upstairs in the first room or two, but I don't know if that was true or not. But I do have the step. When the building was wrecked for the WHAS, I had the step brought here, and it is in my backyard.
That's marvelous.
That was all.
And shall we go to...
All right. Shall I start? When I was a little girl, all about the center.
Please.
I belonged to the Brownies, and we used to have a wonderful time once a week at Mrs. Goldstein was our leader, but I can't recall her first name. And when she was giving up the group because she was going to have a baby, she had us all out to her house, and we had a wonderful time, and we all said, "We'll never forget you." Then at the center, Blanche Mitchell rented the auditorium and had her dance studio there 4 days a week for years and years. And a lot of wonderful dancers that went on to New York and came out of that studio. Then the men had their basketball team at the center. These young men like Pochi Marks and Izzy Frank and Sammy Handmaker and Harry Linker, and I was about 14 or 15, and I used to go there and watch the games. We all did. And then they had dancing afterwards. Of course, we kids went home. And they played with all the different teams here in Louisville, the Turners. I can't recall all the names, but they were one of the best. The center had one of the best basketball teams at that time. Then Thursday night, when I was about 17 or so, a lot of my friends were older and were working. And there was a black woman at the center that was in charge of the kitchen and all. She would fix a supper for these girls to come in on Thursday night and have a meeting and enjoy themselves. And it was 50 cents per person for these working girls. These working girls are out. A lot of them are married, have big families, have families now, and some have passed away, but that was a long time ago. Then if we want to come to the war.
Oh, yes.
The center, on Saturday night and Sunday, was where all the soldiers came and stayed. On Saturday night, they had a dance every Saturday night for the boys. Then they would put up cots up in the gym for the boys to sleep. Well, so many boys came in that Knesset Israel was at Floyd and Jacob. So they used our auditorium and put up cots and had one or two men spending the night there with the soldiers every Saturday night. Sunday morning, they would go back to the center. They had breakfast at the center every Sunday morning. And every Sunday night, the different synagogues or organizations would prepare the supper. These were New York boys, and they weren't used to salads and vegetables like we were. So they would have no salad, but they always had, when Knesset did it, because we used to have to set tables and things, they would have soup, some kind of roast beef, some kind of potatoes, and they always gave them a vegetable because we were used to that.
And they weren't used to vegetables?
Not in New York.
Isn't that interesting?
Not in those days. And then we made dessert. Well, Knesset, when they had their supper, would bake cakes at Knesset during the week and bring that over for dessert. They gave them wonderful meals. And it came to the time that we had to have two settings. There were so many boys. So the young girls would have to reset the tables fast and get it ready so then the other group of boys would have their supper. But the center, the YMHA was wonderful during the war. They did a wonderful job, took them all in.
I think that's great.
See, they were all out of town. A lot of them came from New York, Pennsylvania, and a lot of came down here.
Well, we wanted to talk about the boys at Fort Knox and that they prepared some meals for them at the post or in the city?
At the post, there were a few ladies, like Mrs. O'Coon, Max O'Coon, my mother Sarah Carp, Sarah Gradman, and I don't recall who all went, would go out at least every other week and prepare a kosher meal out at the camp for these Jewish boys.
No wonder they thought we had such good Southern hospitality.
We did. We did, more than anyone else. And we're talking about the suppers at the center. It was something.
And did they have dances?
No, not on Sunday.
On Saturday night?
Saturday night was your dance night, and they would spend the night at the center and Knesset when they had to have more room. And then they had their breakfast at the center on Sunday morning.
For heaven's sake.
And I mean, the girls, people worked. And then they had a dinner or supper every Sunday night.
And then they had to go to work.
Back
to the camp.
Back to the camp, yes.
Would you tell us about the drive to build the new center?
Each synagogue, if I remember correctly, were given a territory to go out to see these people. We had to contact them personally, not on the phone. We had the West End, Knesset did, and a lot of people were living in the West End and had their businesses there. And we went there and we did a good job.
A lot of work.
A lot of work, but a good job. And I always felt like that's how we got our center built.
Which is wonderful still.
It is.
Better and better.
Sure is. Get mixed up.
Okay. We're going.
The 2nd or 3rd of July, Mr. Schreiber called Bernice Bloom and myself, Gertrude Felbein. He wanted to see us, and we couldn't imagine why. They wanted to have the snack bar open for the 4th of July. They dropped it in our lap. So we didn't.
Some drop.
It was. And we made bologna and salami sandwiches, had potato chips, pretzels, drinks, and candy for the 4th of July. And we couldn't make enough sandwiches fast enough. We had such a crowd. Then after that, we got organized, and we had hot dogs, and I decided I was going to make barbecue. They told me that was out of question. Nobody would buy barbecue. I ended up making 50 pounds of barbecue a week.
A week?
Every week. It went over so fast.
And what year was this about? Not too long after the center opened.
When the center opened, exactly when the center opened.
Okay.
Whatever that date was, it was the 4th of July.
The first 4th that the center was open.
And we had the snack bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we were able to have tuna fish sandwiches and egg salad sandwiches also. And then in the wintertime, they had the coin operating machines. We made egg salad and tuna sandwiches. And I don't recall whether they were 15 cents a sandwich or but we'd have the sandwiches in there for 2 days. The third day, we would take them out and would not sell them, make some fresh ones.
And so it was a refrigerated machine.
Yes, they were refrigerated machines. But we felt like tuna and egg you had to be careful of.
Sure you did.
And they did a good job. I stayed on the snack bar for a year and a half.
Okay. You tell us about the swimming at the center?
They had swim teams. And also came in from other
centers
to swim against our children.
So they had competitive meets then.
They did, and it was wonderful. They also had the beauty contest from the girls' club every summer.
So we had bathing beauties too.
We had bathing beauties, and it was really a wonderful summer to be out of the center in those days. I don't know how it is now because it's been a long time.
Wonderful, too.
Oh, it is. That's good. Hey, I've got Rick's Clubs, the center had wonderful clubs. Mm-hmm. Still have, I guess, but I don't think they have as many.
I think that probably they don't have as many.
The Resnick, and they did a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Swimming. They also had, during the holidays, one club was always selected to give the ball that year.
Oh, so there was a holiday ball.
From the
clubs.
Mm-hmm. And the one year that Rick's club gave it, we went out. Of course, I knew how to, where to get all kinds of decorations.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out, and I rented. I used to be able to go to Stewart's Brackets, because I knew them all, see, from weddings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They had a place over on Preston Street where they kept a lot of that stuff.
Oh, the window dressing thing.
I went in there, there's no question, they never bothered me. And I took a lot of stuff off, took back. And we decorated that stage as a winter scene. It was gorgeous.
Oh, it must have been.
And I'm not going to put that
here. In the picture that you've shown me that shows your son and his group in Resnick, AZA, we had a now famous personage who was
Jerry Abramson, and he was one of the boys, and he's still one of the boys.
That's great. That's great.
He really is. Oh, this was a wonderful bunch of boys. Pinky Weisberg was their advisor, and they had a wonderful advisor.
Oh, I know he did a lot of work with the younger groups.
He really did.
He and Marion.
That's right.
That's right.
Sure. New Year's.
Yeah. Tell me about the dances that were given during the holidays that kept the kids busy and happy when they were very young. Were they able to drive during that time, your children or your son?
I don't think they were quite that old. I think they were 15, or maybe some were 16. But they, each year, the center appointed one of the clubs to sponsor the holiday dance. And this one year, it was Resnick. And they did a terrific job. They decorated the stage like a Christmas scene, winter scene, and had a wonderful time.
That's great. It's a wonderful place for young people to spend their holiday time.
It was.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Also, AZA would have their convention in Louisville during the
Christmas holidays.
Christmas holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And the different homes would house the boys, and different homes house the girls. And they always loved to come to Louisville because they had such a wonderful time, and things were always planned for all of them. And the 4 or 5 days that they were here, or the weekend, there was no question of what are they going to do next, because it was always planned. And all the meals were served at the center, lunch and your evening meal. And the last night was the dance, and it was always wonderful.
I know there have been a lot of longtime friendships that came from those conventions.
That's correct. Finished. 19 and 20, when we were all getting married at that time, or is that?
Uh-huh, we're recording.
When I was 19, and all my friends and I were all getting married, 20 years old in those days, I started helping everyone. I don't know where I got the know-how to do it, but I just did. And then I've gone on all these years, and I didn't get paid for years and years and years. I wouldn't even take any money. I thought it was no one would want to pay me. But I'd help with everyone, with the invitation. I got in knowing people, we're able to get things for cost, and I've done that all these years. When I get invitations now, I do not make any money on it. I will not take money for anything except the few dollars that I get for my service. And from what I understand now, people are getting 4 or 5 times even today than I are getting or got last year or 2 years ago, which I'm not doing anymore.
Well, you really worked into a specialty business. It's become a real big business
it
now.
It was. And now it is. Mm-hmm. And these girls all have learned from me.
Yeah. Would you tell us the story about how the temple got their chuppah for weddings? We thank you very much because Gertie Feldbaum has always been a wonderful part of Louisville, and we thank you for working with us. And that's it.
And I didn't even give you a Coke. Look, I got...